Good morning,
girls and boys.
Good morning.
It's nice to see almost everybody here, and I'm glad that you have known the healing touch of the Lord, and I pray that that will continue to be so among teachers and pupils. We're turning to the book of Jude. That's the last book of the Bible, but one. Small little book, but I trust that we will discover that though it's a small treasure chest, it contains much treasure. This is our second study. We began last week in the will of the Lord. There weren't too many here, so we're sort of retracing our steps to a degree today in order to bring everyone up to date, as it were, on what it is we want to discover in this little book. Verse 1 says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called. Now the first few words of the text are the basis of our study today, and it was the basis of our study last week. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James. I told you that Jude gave us an example of what is proper when we meet someone that we haven't met before. We introduce ourselves, and that's what Jude does here. The very first word of the epistle is his name, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now this, as I said, is a small little book, but it is a most vital part of the Bible, the canon of Holy Scripture. It is especially useful to Christians today. Now that can be said, of course, of all of the Bible. From Genesis right through to Revelation, everything in the Bible relates to today. Of course, it related to hundreds of years ago. Some parts of the Bible are thousands of years old, and it was relevant back then, but it stays relevant. It stays relevant because what God said thousands of years ago is still what he says. God hasn't changed. Oh, the world says God has changed. The world says the God of the Old Testament, oh, he's outdated. Well, the world's wrong, absolutely wrong. And when I say that the book of Jude is especially relevant to today, I'm not saying that other parts of the Bible are not relevant, but what I am saying is emphasizing that the subject matter of the book of Jude is something that we need to think about and study today. It reveals to us how the devil's tactics amongst men never changes. He never changes. He can't change. That's one thing about the devil. It's the same as men. They cannot of themselves change. Oh, they may put on a change of outer apparel, may even change the expression on their face, but inside in their heart, they're still the same. They're still the same. And Jude tells us and relates to various events in the far distant past, and he is more or less saying that's how things will continue. What the devil did in the past, what wicked men did in the past, they're going to continue doing it. And therefore, we can learn from this book concerning what it is we face today and what it is we will face tomorrow. Last week, we noted how, first of all, Jude mentions his relationship to Christ. He says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ. Listen to me. That is the most important matter. Our relationship to Jesus Christ is more important than anything else in this world. More important than anything else in this world. Most vital aspect of our existence, boys and girls. We sang a hymn this morning because I thought of it when I was doing a little studying and preparation for this morning's assembly. And it's a hymn by a very famous hymn writer, godly man, John Newton. And the first verse of the hymn says, what think ye of Christ is the test. That's the test for each and every one of you. If I want to know what you are like. If I want to know who you are, really, then I don't ask your opinion of yourself, but I ask your opinion of Christ. What think ye of Christ? Well, what do you think of Christ? Because even as I pose this question, and I hope you're thinking about it, you are revealing to yourself who you are. You're revealing to yourself where you will be in eternity. If you haven't the right opinion of Christ, then you will be lost, and heaven you will never see. I'll continue with the reading of that first verse. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. As Jesus appears in your view, as he is beloved or not, so God is disposed to you, and mercy or wrath are your lot. What you think of Christ impacts upon God and the view that he holds of you. At this moment, please, just visualize this. God looking down on this little assembly. On some of you, he's smiling. But is he smiling on you? Because you hold the wrong view of Christ. Your attitude toward the Savior is not pleasing to God, so he will not smile on you. That's what John Newton is telling us here, very truly. Oh, may you understand that. Jude said, I'm a servant. The word literally means I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. Whatever he bids me do, I do. That's how Jude thus introduces himself. But we noted also that he showed humility in that he introduces himself as the brother of James. Look at what it says. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He doesn't promote himself by suggesting that he is somebody of importance, but rather he says, you'll know me because you know of my brother James. Now, he is well known. Well, that's the spirit of this introduction. He's not claiming that he's somebody that everybody ought to know, but rather he's somebody that is related to someone that everybody ought to know. And I think that shows humility on the part of Jude. He was happy, as it were, to take second place to his brother. Now, most of you here have brothers or sisters, and let that be your attitude. Don't be anxious to push yourself forward as more important than them, but be happy to take a lesser position and show humility. Now, in introducing himself, he does not draw attention to something that I believe is very important, because I believe Jude was related in an earthly sense to the Lord Jesus. But he doesn't mention that, at least not directly. By saying he is the brother of James, he is actually touching upon his earthly relationship to Christ. And that's the emphasis that I want to deal with this morning, because it's a further evidence of the humility of this man, for without boasting and without drawing attention to the fact, he does here give some indication that he is linked to the same family as the Lord Jesus was part of. I want you to think about that. You know, boys and girls, everybody who is saved becomes a member of Christ's heavenly family. There was an occasion when the Savior was speaking and teaching when somebody interrupted him and said to him, your mother's outside and your brothers are out there with her and they want to speak to you. And you find an account of this in Matthew chapter 12, you older ones, look it up. Matthew chapter 12, verse 47. Listen to what we read. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, that is, outside, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? Those are rhetorical questions. Questions prompting the person addressed to give a little thought to the matter. And he stretched forth his hand, just the way I'm doing now, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." Do you hear what the Savior says? Are you in his heavenly family? You are. If you do the will of his Father which is in heaven, if you've obeyed the word of God and seek to live by the word of God, then you're part of the Savior's heavenly family. He looks on you as his mother, as his brethren, as his sister, with that affection and that love. Think of it now. Each one of you, your family circle is special. Oh, you might have a favourite aunt or a favourite uncle or a favourite neighbour or a favourite school friend, but there's no one like the family. There's no one like mum. There's no one like dad. Well, the Lord Jesus is saying the same. I have a special love for all in the world who obey the gospel. Are you within that love today? Boys and girls, I do feel such a need to press that upon you. Distinguish how it is that you stand with God. Don't count it as of no importance. Don't count it as of no importance. Would you say your mother doesn't matter? She's of no importance to me, or your father, or any other member of the family. I don't really care about them. Is that what you would say? No. But that's how it is between you and Christ, if you're not saved. I don't care about them. Disobeying them means nothing to me. It will one day, when you're caused to face the consequences of disobeying the gospel. Oh yes, as I look down upon you, I know, I believe, that there are some of you here wonderfully related and precious to the Lord Jesus. I know, I believe, what it is God thinks of some of you here. Because you've asked the Lord to save you. And therefore there's a special love in God's heart for you. And you have a special relationship with the Lord. Those who don't know the Lord, those who are not part of his family, there's a day coming when the Lord will address these words to such. Luke chapter 13, verse 27. "I know you not. Whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity." Think of that. The Lord looking on you and saying, "I don't know you. You're not part of my family. Depart from me. There's no place, no room for you in heaven, my home." Oh, heed God's truth today, boys and girls. Now quickly, the second thing I want to say is this. Everyone who is saved becomes a member of Christ's heavenly family. But Jude was actually, I believe, a member of Christ's earthly family. You know that God chose Mary, a godly young lassie, maybe just a teenager. She may have been only 18 or 19 when God chose her to be the mother of the Messiah, the mother of the Redeemer, the mother of Christ. I might just tell you this, boys and girls, very commonly you will hear Mary referred to as the mother of God. That is a blasphemy. God didn't have a beginning. God did not have his origins in a mother. That's what the Roman Catholic Church would call Mary, because they exalt Mary way above what the Bible teaches us about her, and it's wrong. But Mary was the mother of the Lord Jesus, the Redeemer. God came down and took into union with his divine nature, human nature. You see, Christ was divine, but he was also one who had a human nature. And that came about through the miraculous birth of Christ, Mary being his mother. Now, that family of Marys, which began with the Lord Jesus, is revealed to us in the Word of God. Jude, as I say, points out that he was the brother of James. Now, there are two very important men called James in the New Testament. One was James, the brother of John, the son of a man called Zebedee. But that's not the James referred to here. If you look at Acts chapter 12, you will discover that that James was killed by Herod the king. put to death as a martyr for the Lord Jesus, and that murder took place about 23 or 24 years before Jude wrote this epistle. So I don't think he would have been introducing himself as being a relative of someone that many of those to whom he was writing would know very little. There were many new converts brought into the Church of Jesus Christ to whom this epistle would have been sent out, and they were brought in as Christians years and years after James, referred to in Acts chapter 12, was martyred. So they wouldn't have known him, and possibly would know very little of him. No, this is a different James. This is the James that writes the epistle that's just a couple of books back from Jude, the general epistle of James. That's the James that he was related to, and that's the James that would have been very well known in the days in which Jude wrote this epistle. We are told concerning James in Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 9 that he is called a pillar of the church by Paul. Paul came to Jerusalem and he met the leaders of the apostolic band, and James was one of them. And he said James is one of the pillars of the church. Now you know how important a pillar is in any building. It's holding it up. And thus being called a pillar by Paul indicated the important role that James had within the church. And it's this James that Jude is indicating that he is a brother of. But also, we're told about James that he was a brother of the Lord Jesus. If you turn to Galatians again, the chapter 1, the verse 19, we read that Paul says that James, the same James who was a pillar of the church, was also the Lord's brother. The Lord's brother. Now, when we come to studying our Bible, we must remember that this book that we're reading from is a translation of original documents. And the New Testament was written in the language of the Greek language. And if we want to understand words, we've got to look at them in the light of the fact that they come from the Greek language. And I think it's right to point out to you that the word translated brother in Galatians chapter 1, the verse 19, may mean half-brother. And a half-brother is a brother who has the same mother or the same father, but they might not have the same father and the same mother. They might have the same mother or the same father. That makes them a half-brother. Means the father has married again or the mother has married again. I believe that Mary had a second family. I would accept that Joseph had died and that Mary married again and had a second family. I would believe that. And James and Jude were part of the second family. I'm putting to you my view on the matter. Listen to what we read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 55 and 56. These words were spoken by the people of Nazareth, the neighbors of the Lord Jesus. He was preaching there, and they were amazed at the authority with which he preached, the wisdom, the learning that he had. And here was their response. Is not this the carpenter's son? The Lord Jesus was born at a time when Mary's espoused husband was Joseph, which was virtually the same as being married. So the Lord Jesus was looked upon by the common people as part of the family of Joseph. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And, listen to this, his brethren, James, and Joseph, and Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things, these learning, these skills? Luke chapter 6 and the verse 16 speaks of Judas, the brother of James. Now, the name Judas, listed as one of the brothers in the eyes of the neighbors in Nazareth, one of the brothers of the Lord Jesus. This Judas is the writer of this book. For another way of putting his name is Jude. Judas and Jude are the same names. Now, this Jude became one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus and is the writer of this book. And I think that I can say and believe that he was part of the earthly family of the Lord Jesus. What a privilege that must have been to have grown up with the Lord Jesus. Now, I think that it's right to say in the early years, his family didn't believe him. They didn't accept that he was the Redeemer. Oh, Mary did, and Joseph did, but the rest of the family didn't. How often that's the case, boys and girls? A mum is saved, a dad is saved, but the son is not, or the daughter's not. They're not following in the footsteps of their parents. And these men mentioned here and the sisters mentioned here did not at the first believe that the Lord Jesus was the Redeemer. Although when you read at the beginning of the book of the Acts, you find them in the prayer meeting that resulted in the great outpouring of the Holy Ghost. So they got saved, and of course Jude writing this epistle indicates that he did get saved. He did come to believe in the Lord Jesus. Now, I know there's controversy, I'll tell you that, so that you might understand that there, not every great Bible commentator would believe that Jude belonged to the family of the Lord Jesus. But I believe there is evidence given us in the scriptures to at least think that that's very, very likely to be the case. But whatever links he may or may not have had to the earthly family of Christ, Jude was related spiritually to the Lord. And boys and girls, that's the most important thing. There are those who'd love to be members of the royal family. Oh, I wouldn't want to have been brought up in Buckingham Palace. It might have been surrounded by riches and comforts and privileges, but it didn't have the daily seeking of God and prayer in the palace of the royal family. That's very evident in the lifestyle that we see in the royal family today. Great wickedness, great immorality, great self-righteousness, trusting in good works. The king and the queen will be soon off to see the Pope, rejoicing in a knowledge of him, he who is an antichrist. There's no rejoicing amongst the royal family in a knowledge of the Lord Jesus. No, I wouldn't want to be a member of the royal family or any family that didn't know the Lord. Are you a member of Christ's family? Are you? Are you saved today? Oh, may God write that question on your heart. May you be able to answer clearly, joyfully, yes, yes I am. The Lord bless you today, boys and girls, and the teachers. Let's bow in prayer. We thank you, Lord, for thy precious word, and we can but pray that though uttered in weakness, God may be pleased to make the words count in the hearts and minds and souls of the boys and girls here. Grant your blessing on the school, Lord. We thank thee. We're seeing nearly everyone back again. We pray that you will bless the school, prosper it, and may this be a year of bounty. Hear us, we ask. Bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.